Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Listen, the Catholic Church is rooted and grounded in real Christianity. They believe in the virgin birth, they believe in the resurrection, but they have the pieces to be able to be saved. And there are those in the Catholic Church who are saved. And I know people and have known people who are genuinely believers in the Catholic Church. But I also know that there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church who aren't saved.
Today on Practical Christian Living, one of the great mysteries in the tribulation, the Scarlet Woman who rides the Scarlet Beast. Our study through the book of Revelation continues, and don't worry, the best part of Revelation is right around the corner. With Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you that your word is going to speak to us tonight. And we ask you to bless this time in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we get into one of the most controversial sections of the book of Revelation, chapters 17, 18, and 19. I get the most questions about the book of Revelation about the millennium period, which is interesting. People will say to me, am I going to have a pet dog during the millennium? And I'm like, should I even answer that or not? Are we going to have children in the millennium? Are we going to have babies in the millennium? People will ask. We're going to get to the millennium in the book of Revelation. So we're going to clear all those things up. But right now we're talking about Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great, and the destruction of Babylon. And that God pours his wrath down upon this Babylon. We're going to talk about who it is. We're going to look at Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and her destruction. We will cover chapter 17, verses 1 through 6 today. That sounds like it's a really short Bible study. It's not. I had to hurry to get here, but I will get this done on time. I'll work through it a little bit quicker for this one. The controversy is over the identity of the woman who rides the beast. Some things are very clear. Other things are not that clear. Over the years, people have been dogmatic and love to be dogmatic about anything having to do with the last days and the weird dogmatic things. I'll get comments on our social media where people will say things that are so weird and bizarre and they're so dogmatic about it. They'll say something like, you're so far out there, it's this, and they'll give me some weird thing. And I don't even want to argue with them. It's so weird. I just say, thanks. Now, sometimes when I say thanks, don't think if you get a comment and I say thanks on it that I'm just blowing you off, because I'm not. Sometimes I mean thanks, but sometimes it's like I'm not even going down that path because that's just too weird. So people get dogmatic, and the problem is it's hard to be dogmatic over a mystery. This is Mystery Babylon. And so when you get dogmatic, the Babylon is this, it's this, it's this. Some people believe that it is Rome, the old Rome, the old Roman Empire. The old Roman Empire has a lot in common with Mystery Babylon. There was a lot of sinful behavior in Rome. There were a lot that people did that we won't even begin to talk about, the sinful behavior that was there. There was a lot in Babylon as well, in the actual city of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. There's a lot in the Greek Empire as well. But Peter, in one of his books, makes a reference from where he's writing from, and he calls Rome Babylon. There's a direct quote where he says, those of Babylon. And he's probably using a code because Rome was very much like Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And so he's probably using code. And for that reason, some people say it's very clear. Peter called Rome Babylon. And maybe Rome is Babylon. Now, Rome gets divided up into two parts. It could be the political city of Rome, which would be a reemergence of the Roman Empire, which could be the 10 divided countries, where three of them are destroyed and there are seven with 10 kings, right? Could be that. Or it could be Rome, as in the Catholic Church. Now, during the 1800s, maybe even before that, the last couple of hundred years, the Catholic Church was the favorite for Protestant churches to say, the harlot who rides the beast is the Catholic Church. And that came from, a lot of it, a guy by the name of Alexander Hislop, who wrote a book called The Two Babylons. And the subtitle was something like how the pontiff or the some connection to the Catholic Church was the subtitle on it. And unfortunately, a lot of churches through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, maybe even the 90s, maybe even now, are still quoting from the Two Babylons. In the Two Babylons, Alexander Hyssop said that Nimrod was married to Semiramis, and Semiramis had a baby named Tammuz. And they are the unholy trinity, and that all other religions were based off of Nimrod. That Nimrod started pagan religion, and all other religions started off of that. And in the Bible, you have two references to the Queen of Heaven. That's supposed to be Semiramis. You do have one reference to Tammuz. So Tammuz was their child who was supposed to have been killed and then resurrected, which is supposed to be a type of Jesus. It was Alexander Hyssop in the book, The Two Babylons, who also said that Christmas was pagan because there were connections to Saturnalia and Christmas. And we know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And so we're pagan because a lot of pagan things were done on December 25th when we do Christmas. It's also Alexander Hyssop who said that Easter was connected to Ishtar and that that's pagan. And so whenever we say Easter, we're actually saying Ishtar. But Easter is a German, comes from a German word where Germans were talking about the resurrection and used a word that sounds like Easter but was changed in our culture to be Easter but doesn't come from that. So all of this paganism from the Jehovah Witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses do not celebrate any holiday because they believe it's pagan. If you go to any witness bookstore in any of their kingdom halls, you're going to find Alexander Hyssop there. And they're going to connect paganism to the Roman Catholic Church, and they're going to connect paganism to the Protestant Church because of what Hyssop said. The problem is it was false. Nimrod never married Semiramis and didn't have a child called Tammuz and didn't establish a paganistic worship. It was false. He was a free Scottish minister, Presbyterian, and in their day, it was thought that the Catholic Church was the woman who rides the beast. That was the main thinking back in those days. As in times before that, it was thought that Israel was the woman who rides the beast. So he did poor scholarship in going back and doing this research. So there was a guy by the name of Ralph Woodruff, Woodrow, W-O-O-D-R-E-W, who wrote a book called Babylon Contained, or something like that, off of Hyssop's book. And it became a bestseller because it was much easier to read than Hyssop's book was. So he made a lot of money on it. But the Bible Answer Man, and I don't know whether we're talking about Walter Martin or Hank Hanegraaff, I looked it up today, I couldn't find it, but the Bible Answer Man had made a segment where he talked about the weak scholarship in Hyssop's book, and a teacher who respected Woodrow wrote him and said, you've got to check out your sources and see whether these things are true or not. And so Woodrow dove in. He went everywhere he could go, to every encyclopedia, every library, everything he could dive into to find out whether Nimrod and Semiramis and Tammuz had a connection. He found out that there's nothing said about Nimrod even being married. He found out that Semiramis lived in a different century, a different millennium, really. And the fact that they were husband and wife is truly a miracle, that you can marry someone who is 1,000 years after you. He also found out that Semiramis is probably pretend, that she was made up, and that Tammuz was, again, not even in either of their times of when they were supposed to have lived and was not connected at all. He also found out that Christmas was not connected to Saturnalia, and Easter was not connected to Ishtar, and that paganism is not connected to any holidays. Now, in the last service, I left myself out of this part, so I'm going to put myself in it in just a moment. I have heard so many Calvary Chapel pastors quote from Alexander Hyssop's book. And with all due respect towards Chuck Smith, who you guys know, Pastor Chuck Smith, that I respect him greatly. He quoted from Hyssop a lot. Chuck Missler. You guys are familiar with Chuck Missler? How many of you? Okay. He quoted from Hyssop a lot. David Hawking. How many of you guys familiar with David Hawking? Okay. These are all men I respect. Quoted from Hyssop a lot. It was just accepted. And I went to listen to Calvary Chapel teachings today on these six verses. And I was rejoiced to find some Calvary Chapel guys who didn't mention it at all. But I also found a lot of guys that did. But I've got to think also that if you go back to one of my studies in the book of Revelation in the past, that I probably quoted Hyssop. That's what I left out of the study on the other side. I probably should have thrown it in there. Because we all did. We all were like, this is true. But it's shoddy work all the way through. He does things like, well, pagans worship their gods with round bread, and so Catholics are worshiping God through the wafer. Now, round and round does not make something true. Things like they used buildings to worship their God, and so we are pagan today for having buildings and worshiping God. Those kind of connections are what scholars would call extremely weak. I have my joke along those lines. Pagans breathed air, and so do we. We must be pagan. Pagans walked on two legs, so do we, so we must be pagan. That's the idea. He goes back and finds so many connections. By the way, Christmas, I don't know why the original church chose Christmas, but it has something to do with being around the winter solstice, which I think is the 21st. My wife told me today, 21st of December. So Christmas is not on Saturnalia. And a lot of other false religions, not paganism that was connected in any way, they're disconnected, use the winter solstice because it's a special day. It's the shortest, right, day of the year. And so it's used for that. But Christmas doesn't even fall on the winter solstice, and Saturnalia is before it. Saturnalia is like a 14-day event. Christmas for us is a one-day event. And the church chose it for whatever reasons they chose it, disconnected from it. So it's time for pastors to abandon. And I did a hot topic on it today. I have shorter little contents that I do where I do like 10-minute little videos. And you can see them on Facebook. And I cut one today in my office. It's time for us to abandon Alexander Hislop. It's time for us to get away from him and to not follow him anymore at all, to get completely away from it. The Jehovah Witnesses will keep it, by the way, which shouldn't shock us, but we should stay away from it. Listen, the Catholic Church is rooted and grounded in real Christianity. They believe in the virgin birth. They believe in the resurrection. But they have the pieces to be able to be saved. And there are those in the Catholic Church who are saved. And I know people and have known people who are genuinely believers in the Catholic Church. But I also know that there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church who aren't saved. They go to church just because it's going to church. They believe in the sacrament. They believe that they're a Catholic and that they're saved because they're Catholic. They believe they were baptized as a baby and they're saved because of those reasons. I grew up in the Methodist Church. My mom and dad believed they were Christians because they went to the Methodist Church. Because I was baptized as a baby. My mom and dad thought they were getting me saved by saving me as a baby. I got saved at 14 years old, not as a baby. The Catholic Church has enough problematic things in it. We know that praying to saints is problematic. We know that praying to Mary, Mary is venerated, maybe in certain places worshiped. Okay, I'm not going to say that in all of Catholicism, there's no place where Mary isn't worshiped, but she is definitely venerated past a place that I'm comfortable with. I think Mary should be venerated to a degree, but it goes beyond what I feel comfortable with, for sure. What I'm saying is the Catholic Church has enough problems without us Protestants slandering them and saying that they're doing things that they're not doing by kicking them out of the kingdom of God and saying, if you're Catholic, you're not a Christian. That is just wrong. And it's been wrong that we've done it for 200 years. It's been wrong that people do it. Now, I was going to do this later on in the study, but I did it now, so got it out of the way. I will cover it again. I'll actually read Woodrow's statement. Woodrow talks about, you know, how he wrote this book, how he made money on it, how he went and did the research, and how he finally had to come to the conclusion that all of this is false. If you go to Wikipedia and you look up The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, then it's going to tell you what the book's about. And at the very end, it says most scholars reject what he says. I would go stronger than that. I think they're being careful to say most scholars. There is not one Egyptologist who would say his comparison to Isis and other Egyptian gods, would be true. There's not one. And he makes all of these connections in there. So it's not pagan. Christmas isn't pagan. Easter isn't pagan. They're not pagan. All this comes from one book. Can you imagine? One book. I actually lost 2 hours of sleep last night, laying in bed thinking about it. Just because it bothers me so much that someone could write such lies, such an unscholarly work, and Christians would buy it for so long. And we would kind of all take it in. Yeah, Christmas trees are pagan, you know, Easter is pagan. Eggs and bunnies are pagan. They're connected to Ishtar. There's no evidence that they worshipped Ishtar with eggs and bunnies. Do you know why we have eggs and bunnies around Easter? Because it's spring and birds lay their eggs in the spring. Because in the spring, there's bunnies. They're everywhere in the spring. And Jesus rose from the dead in the spring. There's no connection to any paganism at all. And it's just time for us to abandon all of that nonsense. And I'm sorry, if you're here, let me say this. Let me try to get a little bit more reserved, okay? If you're here and you're an anti-Christmas, anti-Christmas tree, anti-Easter egg, you're Christian, okay? I'm just going to challenge you to do your research. Go and find sources that are not Alexander Hislop and see whether any of it's true. Go and get sources. We live in the information age. We live in an age where you could go, you know what, I'm gonna learn how to research, and I'm gonna see if whether or not this is true. Go and do your research. And this is what Woodrow did. He started doing his research, and he found there were no sources for any of it that was written in it, and that the connections are weak. Anyway, I'm not gonna go over all again. I'm just saying, if you believe in it, you know, I'm not gonna get down on you again. I'm just gonna say, go out and do your research on it, and make sure that you haven't built this on some book that was meant to slander the Catholic Church, okay? Because that's why he wrote it, was to slander the Catholic Church. I'm sure he believed it. I'm sure he thought it was true. But the end result was a slander of something that's not true. And as I said, the Catholic Church is problematic enough without us slandering it. And we would love to see those in the Catholic Church getting saved. And I wonder how many people are Catholic would not even walk into a Protestant church because the Protestant church says, you Catholic Church, you're the whore that rides the beast. And people are Catholic are like, yeah, like I'm going to visit your church. Some have claimed that the mystery Babylon is the United States. That's very popular today, actually. Some believe that mystery Babylon, the woman that rides the beast, or the whore that rides the beast, is New York City. I happen to agree. Europe is another popular one. The one world government that we kind of see kind of a lot of stewing about today, about being controlled by a one world government, that that's the woman who rides the beast or the harlot that rides the beast. Literally, the rebuilding of Babylon. Remember when in the Iraq war, and we were Babylon's there, and now we're going to take Babylon, and Babylon's going to be rebuilt, and this could be Babylon. There's a lot of interest then. In the first war against Iraq, I'm not talking about when we went and drove them out of Kuwait, but when we actually attacked Iraq, Thursday night services, we didn't have Wednesday night services back then, Thursday night, standing room only. Everybody was here. Babylon, it's happening, Babylon. We're invading Babylon. And it sure did seem like it. So we kind of saw how Saddam Hussein was building Babylon. Remember hearing that? Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon. These little bitty pathetic bricks. It's just not close. But maybe it'll be rebuilt. Maybe it's literal Babylon. Some believe that the harlot who rides the beast is an Islamic caliphate. An Islamic caliphate is a government that is over Islam, no matter what country you live in. You could live in Iran, you could live in Libya, and if you're Muslim, then you would be under the caliphate. So they would make rules for you. It's religious, right? But it's more than that. It's religious and political. There have been caliphates in the past. The first caliphate was, I can't remember the date of it, 700 and something was the first caliphate. And they're trying to get a caliphate now. They are talking about getting a caliphate. And if it is an Islamic caliphate, that would make the Antichrist Islamic. It would be the Mahdi. Now, some people I respect are starting to talk about this. Joel Rosenberg talks about the Antichrist being the Mahdi and talks about an Islamic caliphate. And I really respect Joel, his friend, and I respect him. Skip Heitzig, who's the pastor that sent me out here, talks about the Islamic caliphate. Now, I find problems with it. I can't quickly go to it. Now, the part of the mystery Babylon we're going to see makes the world rich, and the part of the caliphate that would make the world rich would be Saudi Arabia. And that does fit. Saudi Arabia is wealthy, and so you have Shiites and Sunni, and the Sunni are Saudi Arabia, and the Shiites are more militant. Did I get that reversed, or is that right? One of them's more militant, and one of them's, and Saudi Arabia is the less militant ones, and there's a lot of wealth in Saudi Arabia. So there's certain things that fit, and the eschatology of Islam is that they're going to have one guy who's going to come and rule the world at the end of the world. But he's not going to be a bad guy like we think, the Antichrist. To them, he's going to be a good guy. I don't know about it. I really don't. What I want to do today and for the rest of our study here is I want to wipe the slate clean. I want to take everything I've thought about so far and what I think the mystery Babylon is, And I want to take the next few weeks to study with you and to click off the things that we learn about Mystery Babylon and Babylon itself. We have 2.5 chapters. And then I want us to go back and look at who could be the best fit. And maybe it'll still be a mystery to us, right? It is Mystery Babylon, so maybe we're going to go, it's a mystery at the end. But I want us just to come at it biblically now. Biblically, and look, what does it say? And so if you were to ask me before, well, I won't even tell you. I'll tell you that at the end. I'll tell you where I leaned before. And don't go listen to any of my other studies in the book of Revelation. All right? I forbid you. If that isn't like somebody, I'll go right now just because he forbid me. I'm going to go listen to it. I'm going to find it. All right. So we're going to tick off these statements. And at the end, I'll give you 11 things that we learn about the Mystery Babylon today. So let's take a look at it. Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now, the original Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, remember Israel was taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar treated Israel bad, and God prophesied that he was going to destroy them because of the way they treated Israel. They could have treated them well. They could have taken them into captivity and treated them better. The ancient Babylon was very much like ancient Rome. If you can think of the kind of debauchery that was in Rome, that's the kind of debauchery that was in ancient Babylon. All right? So I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but you can imagine. Jeremiah, or maybe you shouldn't, Jeremiah 51, 13 says, O you who dwell by many waters, talking to Babylon. This harlot is by many waters. O you who dwells by many waters. There was the Tigris River, and there was the Euphrates River that went right by Babylon. It says, abundant in treasure, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. God destroyed ancient Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar in one day, just as he says he's going to do with the new one. Jeremiah 51, 6 and 7, talking about the original Babylon, says, flee the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity. And this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made the earth drink. The nations drank her wine. People are going to drink the wine of the harlot who rides the beast. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and has been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her. Perhaps she may be healed. So God was even willing to have mercy on Babylon, who had become so sinful and had mistreated Israel in such a bad way.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.